But 1 Samuel chapter 30, the Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And as you read on, they found an Egyptian. In verse 13, it said, David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Uh-oh. Y'all listen to this story here. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. In verse 15, it says, And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Yeah, y'all go ahead, devil. Just go ahead and have your fun, devil. But just watch out, Mr. Devil. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Amen. But verse 6, David had to encourage himself. We look a lot of times at things in this old world and it gets you discouraged. It gets you discouraged. We get discouraged, we get defeated, we get destroyed, and that's all the devil wants you to do. The devil wants to deceive you, the devil wants to discourage you, the devil wants you to get defeated so the devil can destroy you. Not so much physically. People are doing that all the time with drugs and alcohol and just working to death and just stress. But the devil wants to defeat you and discourage you and destroy you spiritually. He wants you to get mad about whatever. He wants you to just quit on God. There's a man in the jail who does not come to the service anymore. Over 2 months, he's quit coming just because I'd mentioned a few things in his Bible that a chaplain gave him. But he got mad, like, well, you know, the chaplain brought it. I got more things to worry about than this. I said, look, if you don't have the word of God, you ain't got God's word, and they ain't going to help you. I said, that song we just sang, I've got a mansion. Boy, if Ira Stanfield was living today, what would he be singing then? I got a room? I got a dwelling place? No. King James Version says, I got a mansion. In my father's house are many mansions. I said, you got the Biltmore mansion, you got a room back there, or you can sleep on this pew as a dwelling place. I said, take your pick. I said, what kind of God you got? A God that can only make a little cot that you can sleep in? A God that can only make a little room that you can dwell in? A God who can make a mansion for you? I said, I got a God that makes mansions. I said, but I can also show you something else. But he got mad. And to this day, he has not come to the services over something like that. I said, he's distressed. I said, he is spiritually going to be destroyed. I said, when you start tampering with God's word, you go over there in Acts, where I think it's chapter 7 or 8, where Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and they took the whole verse out. He said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And I think verse 37 says, If thou believest, thou mayest. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they stopped the chariot and he was baptized. But they took that whole verse out. If thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They took that whole verse out. And they got 36/37. And then they got a tiny little old print that you need a microscope to read it. Tiny little old print down there in the bottom. I said, when you start taking out the most important verse, Jesus is the Son of God. I said, what you got? Well, all I got to do is be baptized. We'll stand out in a rainstorm. God baptized you. Must be going to heaven. I said, the devil's a liar. I said, but David had to encourage himself. I said, he had to encourage himself. He had to learn how to strengthen his own self. When you're weak sometimes, you're going to have to learn how to pick up your own boots. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before I continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you most of all for Jesus. Thank you for each person that came out tonight. And God, you know the needs and desires of each heart. I pray, God, that you'll bless according. I pray, God, that your will be done in each heart and life tonight. I pray, God, that you'll just help me to be a blessing to the people. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you again tonight so that we can be a blessing to the people. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You have got to learn, I've got to learn along life's journeys, how to strengthen your own self, because the world is not going to help you. The world wants you to be weak. The world wants you to be discouraged. The world wants you to be in a valley. The world don't care if you're in that valley. The world does not care about you. I try to tell the girls, I said, look, I said, you need to watch who you hang around with. I said, you need to watch where you're going and things that you do. I said, because people out there do not care about you like mama and daddy or even like Jesus does. I said, the people do not care about you. But you have got to learn, I've got to learn how to be strong. Because if I'm discouraged and you're discouraged, we're not going to help nobody. We're not going to be a helper to anybody. We're not going to be able to encourage anybody along the way. We're just going to sit, and if you go to church, even if you go to church, you're just going to sit in the pew, get nothing from church because you're discouraged, and you're going to go back out there, and you ain't going to encourage nobody. And if you quit on church, you're definitely not going to encourage nobody. That guy over there, Lance, cannot encourage anybody because he's pretty much quit on God. He's quit on the fellowship of being with the brethren and hearing something preached from the Word of God. And the devil wants to do that to every one of us. He wants to put something there to discourage you, and he ain't going to use something big. Something as small as, I know the changing the Word of God's big, but when you look at some of the things that people leave God on, well, we don't want carpet, or we don't want padded pews, or we don't want this, or we don't need another fellowship building, or we don't need, I mean, just little things, when you really think about it, it's not really that important. But the devil's going to use any little old thing to try to discourage you and get you to quit on God. Little stuff. I mean, David David's family was gone. The people wanted to kill David. They wanted to stone him. The place had been burned. You talk about suffering. The Bible said in verse 3, the city was burned. The wives and sons and daughters were captives. We talk about suffering. You talk about sorrow. Verse 4, they wept until they couldn't weep no more. Think about it, men in the church. If all of us men in the church, we went off, you know, wherever, and we come back to Lexington, the Amalekites had come in and they destroyed Lexington and they burned Lexington and they took all of our wives and our children and everything, and they come and they took us, and we come in here, we'd be crying and weeping and just until we couldn't weep no more. But then on top of that, the fear of stoning, we're going to kill King David. How's that going to help you get your wives and your children back? Let's kill the king. It's always somebody's fault, isn't it? You always got to point your finger, and whoever's in command, that's the one to blame. But the fear of stoning, the people spake of stoning David. It's always the one in the authority is always the one they're going to blame. It's Jesus' fault. It's God's fault. Ever have people do that? Blame God for all their problems. Man, years ago over there at the jail, invited them to church. I said, come on to the service. No, I'm mad at God. I said, why are you mad at God? God gave me 15 years. I said, sir, God did not give you 15 years. I said, you can't blame God for whatever you're in jail for. I said, I don't know what you're here for. I said, but you cannot blame God for your 15 years. I said, God loves you, sir. I said, God sent Jesus to die for you, sir. I said, he wants you saved if you're not saved. I said, if you're not saved, your 15 years is going to be like nothing compared to eternity in the lake of fire. I said, 15 years is going to be like, tick, 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 there's your 15 years. Now you're still going to eternity in the lake of fire. I said, you need to get saved. You need to come on in here. Quit blaming God for all your problems. If something goes good, who do you blame then? Who you give credit to then? Oh, I did it. I did it. Amen. No. No. But they wanted to stone him. Loss of the home, loss of the wife, loss of the children. Your city's burned. Let's kill the king. Think about David. With all that upon him, his wives are gone. His children are gone. The other people's wives are gone. The other people's children are gone. Your city is now burned. You're the king. They're wanting to stone you and kill you. You can only imagine how discouraged he was. But the Bible says in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He didn't encourage himself by reading the newspaper. He didn't encourage himself by turning on the TV and watching some show on TV, whether it's NASCAR or baseball or golf or whatever. No. He didn't get a letter somebody wrote him to encourage him. He said, I encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouraged himself in the Lord. Not by the people. Not by the media. Not by the newspaper. Not by the TV. Even though sometimes they may encourage you. Might actually get something in the newspaper that's worth reading. But when you're deeply distressed, there's only one source that can help you. And that's the Lord. That's the Lord. He's the only one. You know, when my grandmother died, my mother's mother, when she died, it kind of broke my heart. I was like, you know, I hope she asked the Lord to save her. You know, when my brother died, you know, I hope he asked the Lord to save him. But you know what? Words that people can tell me, you know, whether it's Cindy or the girls or whoever, they just don't help. They're just like idle words. You say, but that's your wife and your daughters. Yes. But you know what? There's only one person that's really going to help you. And that's the Lord. Because what's going to happen when I'm all by myself? What's going to happen when I get in that little postal truck to go out there to deliver the mail? Cindy ain't there. The girls aren't there. Who's going to encourage me then to keep on going? You know, after Dean died, I just kind of like, life ain't worth living, you know, when you think about it. You know, unless you've lost a sibling, you don't know what a person's going through who's lost a sibling. You know, 54, that's young. But you know, there are people that have lost them even younger. Think about Wendy, our sister-in-law. Her sister was killed in an automobile wreck when they were in high school. The only person that's going to encourage you or me is going to be the Lord. It's going to be the Lord. He's the only one. That little still voice. That little soft voice. See, God's got to get our attention. He ain't going to yell at us. He ain't going to scream at you. He wants that little soft, little still voice. That little soft voice. Holy Spirit going to whisper words of encouragement to help you. The Lord is God. His God, he said. Well, that's a personal helper. Amen. I love when I'm reading the Bible and it talks about he's my Savior. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I prepared a place for you. I just put myself in there. He got a place for me. Amen. He died for me. He's coming back for me. Boy, that does you something good when you start putting it personal. I mean, my personal Savior, my personal Holy Ghost. I know you got the Holy Ghost in you too if you're saved, but I like my personal Holy Ghost. You can like yours and fall in love with yours, but I've fallen in love with mine, amen? Because he's my Holy Ghost. But I mean, personal. David said, my Lord. He's my God. He's my personal helper. So how can you encourage yourself? How, David, can you be encouraged in your Lord? Well, number one, just remember God's promises. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. David, I was with you over in Psalm, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We can look over there. You got David fighting Goliath. But the Lord was with me, David said in verse 37. I may be getting ahead of myself, and a lot of this is, I mean, you can throw a lot of these in there. Every word starts with a P. You got God's promises. Thank God for that. David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, he said, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. So David, the people are wanting to kill you right now. David, the city's burned. David, your wife and your children and all of them are gone. But David, just remember something. I delivered you from the lion. I delivered you from the bear. And I also delivered you from Goliath. And I can deliver you from this also, David. David remembered the promises of God. We need to remember the promises of God. Amen? There are too many to list, and I don't think I can know all of them in the Bible, but there's just way too many to think about. But you can think about, how has God promised you? What has God done in your life? How has God blessed you in the past that will help you continue on in the future? God's got a lot of promises. Psalm 3:8, salvation belongeth to the Lord. That right there tells me salvation don't belong to the church. Salvation don't belong to the baptistry. Salvation don't belong to the communion or the Lord's Supper. Salvation don't belong to me, so I can't work my way to heaven. So if salvation belongeth to the Lord, then God, you got the salvation that we need. So I think we need to ask you for it. Amen. And give it to me. And God said, I'll give it to you freely. You ask, I'll give it to you. You want to be saved? I'll give it to you. All you got to do is ask for it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God, they made it hard, but religion's made it hard. The world's made it hard. But salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Psalm 4:8 talks about safety comes from God. Psalm 5 verse 11, defended. We're defended. Trust the Lord. Psalm 11:1. I mean, you can look through Psalms and find all kinds of things about God. And who wrote a lot of the Psalms? David. David wrote a lot of them. Amen. Encourage yourself in the promises of God, amen. Encourage yourself in the power of God. He remembered God's powerful. He remembered God's powerful. There's no limit on God's power. God never tires. God's not limited on his power. I'm glad he's not. God's got enough power for every one of us in this room, and he's still got more. God's got enough. He opened the Red Sea, and while God was holding the Red Sea open, he went ahead and blew and dried out the ground they walked on. Come on. Come on, my children. Come on. I dried it out for you because I don't want you to get your sandals dirty in the mud. While he's holding it up the Red Sea, he just blew the warm, hot blow dryer and dried it out. The Bible says they walked on dry ground. Amen. You talk about power. I mean, he did it like that. Open it up and whoosh, it's dry. Were they out there in the wilderness wondering how they're going to eat? God kept giving them manna, kept giving them manna. And now a big old rock come along. God blessed them with water. God gave them a big old umbrella during the day, a big old cloud by day, and gave them a big old fire, pillar of fire by night. But God's powerful. God's powerful. The lion, he closed up the lion's mouth so David could sleep. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, they didn't get singed. Didn't even smell like smoke. So there were three in there. They were bound, but now they're loose. But it's four. Talk about power. David, you remember how you killed the lion? You remember how you killed the bear? And you remember how you killed old Goliath? Is there not a cause? What's that big Philistine screaming out? 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, he says, the Lord. Then again in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Boy, you talk about power. Hey, Saul, you're not the king of this army. You're not the general of his army. God is. Philistine, I'm going to kill you and let the fowls of the air eat you. Because you defied my God. You talk bad about my Lord, who's the Lord and who's the general over all the army of Israel. Well, you talk about power. Book of Revelation said we're going to ride out of heaven on white horses. But we're just there as spectators. I love stallions. Well, I can't wait to ride that horse. And Jesus is going to be out there in the front, and we're just going to be riding back, coming out of heaven with the saints. We're just spectators because Jesus is doing all the work. We're riding that horse. I love horses. They're beautiful animals. But God, he said the Lord. Remember, he's powerful. Think about the hardest thing in your life. Hardest obstacle in your life. Think about it right now. The only person that could help you through that obstacle was the Lord. Who put the sun and the moon and the stars out there? Man didn't. Man can't do that. The women going to the tomb, who's going to roll the stone away? We need to get some men to do that. We're not strong enough. But we're already there. I can almost see it. Okay. But who's going to roll the stone away? God did. Oh, angel rolled it away and sitting up on top of it. Why y'all seeking the living among the dead? What are you talking about? Living. Jesus died. You talking about power? Power to raise him up? Going to raise us up? Hardest thing in your life. And you couldn't do it. You couldn't move it. You couldn't erase it. You couldn't get rid of it. Well, only God can. Only God can. Some of y'all ain't heard this story about when Chelsea was born. She was pretty much, I guess, anemic. White as Brother Lewis's shirt. Thought she was dead. No life to her. You know, you're already a week late with your baby. Now your baby has no life. You think your baby's going to die? Food didn't look inviting. Sleep didn't look inviting. Stay up in the room just praying, God, if Chelsea's never going to get saved, go ahead and take her. That's okay. Because God, if she rebels and never gets saved and dies and goes to hell, I'd rather you take her right now in that neonatal unit. I don't want my daughter to grow up and rebel against you, God. I said, but God, if you see fit, if it's your will to touch her, go ahead. But 5:30 in the morning, most people are still asleep. But I was awake. And God gave me peace that just flooded my soul. And I said, everything's going to be all right. Only power of God could do that. And look at her but today. Look at her today. Look at Zachariah, bless his heart. I mean, I know Wanda and Brother Norman, if they told, man, they could tell you, we could be here all night long talking about the power of God, how God's just moved and how God's just touched. And look at my mother-in-law right there, how God just blessed her life with open-heart surgeries and other surgeries. And look at y'all. I mean, we could all sit here and just talk about how good God's been, that only God can move those obstacles in our life. Only God can move that stone, that big old rock from our lives. Only God can. And David, the people want to kill you. But David, remember the promises of God. But also remember the power of God. And then while you're discouraged, remember to pray to the God who can encourage you and who can help you. David said, Abiathar, I pray. Come here, Abiathar. Bring the ephod. I want to get the man of God involved in this, David said. Come here. Come here. Amen. Boy, we need to get God involved in it. Amen. Man of God might not be around when you really need God, so you get God involved in it by praying. He said, I pray thee, inquired at the Lord, said in verse 7 and 8 of, I think, of chapter 30. In Psalm 18, verse 6, it says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. Why? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Prayer helps us trust God more. And the pastor said this, why is it when we're always in a distress and always in a mess is when we decide to pray? But when everything's going good, we don't need to pray. He said, we need to pray when the sun's shining because it ain't going to be long till the storm's coming. But David encouraged himself not only through remembering the promises of God, the power of God, praying to God, but he remembered also how he encouraged himself, the presence of God. When you got the promises of God, you got the power of God, you're touching heaven through your prayer, God can't do nothing but get close. Amen? I mean, God can't do nothing but get close. The presence of God. David, Goliath wants to kill you. But he talked bad about my God. And I'm going to show him. Saul, I'm too little for all your armor. I haven't proved it. But I have proved a sling. I know that one. He said, let me go. He got his staff, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And he went down there and he got 5 smooth stones from out of the brook. He put them in his little shepherd pack, little pouch. And all he needed was one. He said, I proved this. I know how to use this sling. And he coming running to him. I just put myself in there. I'm a spectator up on that mountain, just watching, up on that hill, just watching. Look at that little ruddy old guy going after that big old 9-foot giant. Man, look at him. Go, David, go! This day, verse 46, 1 Samuel chapter 17, this day, he said, look, verse 45, he says, you come with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. I mean, you can squish me, you're so big. Why do you need all that protection? But he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Well, you talk about the presence of God. I'm going to let everybody know about my God. You watch this, Goliath. You watch this. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and threw nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. You just can't help but laugh. Think about this. Zechariah, the smallest one in here, he's David, and I'm Goliath. And I got my sword, and I got my spear, and I got my shield, and all that. And little old Zechariah, he coming at me, he said, you defied my God. You talk bad about my God, and I don't like it. I mean, I'm gone. But here, therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Y'all see this Philistine army? Look at the power of God today. Stood upon him and took his sword. Oh. No wonder Goliath had that sword all nice and sharp that day. It's so David could use it. And he drew it out of the sheath thereof. Goliath didn't even have the sword out because he probably thought he ain't even going to need it. It was still in his sheath. And slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I'd flee too. Amen. That's the power of God. That little old guy just killed our big old giant and took his own sword and cut his own head off. What do you think he's going to do to us? He got a bunch of stones down there. I ain't hanging around. You know, I'm gone. Well, you talk about the power of God. I mean, God knew that stone exactly where it was going to go, in his forehead. It wasn't like some of these field goal kickers. They hope that ball goes right there, but it goes over there. I mean, God had that stone right there where he needed to go, right there in that forehead, and boom. He was down. And then David standing on top of him and took his sword and cut his own head off with it. And then he took his sword home and put it up in his house. Talk about encouraging yourself. Well, every time David got discouraged, he'd look at that sword. Remember, how God helped me. the presence of God, the promises of God, praying to God, the power of God. Well, I was on the presence of God. The presence of God helped me. David inquired at the Lord, and God answered, and David pursued, and David went, and David got the wives back. David got the children back. But here's the thing to think about. Back over here in chapter 30. Remember when they found the Egyptian? And he said that he was a servant of an Amalekite? Men, be honest right now with yourself. If we came upon this guy, and he's been left out there for 3 days to die, and he's hungry, and he's starving, and he says, oh, I'm an Egyptian, I'm a servant of an Amalekite. What's probably the first thing we would do? The Amalekites done burned our city. The Amalekites took our wives. The Amalekites took our sons and our daughters. And he's a servant of an Amalekite? You dead. Who got a sword? Who got a knife? We just stoned him. We just beat him up. He dead. You're dead. That's what I would have probably done. That's what most of us men in the church, if we're honest, that's what we'd probably done. Anger and revenge would have been our... But you know what? We would have never got our wives and our children back. Because he knew where they were. Well, we done killed the road map. So much for the Garmin. He's dead. Now how are we going to find him? Yeah. I would have acted... We, most of us, like I said, men, if we're honest... Your people got my wife and my children. You're dead. Or there's always a smart one among the bunch. Brother Self would say, no, let's just go ahead and hold him hostage, and he'll lead the way. And then we'll kill him when we find our wives and our children. But thank God for the presence of God. Moses, God's with you. Joshua, God's with you. Abraham, God's with you. On and on and on and on and on. David, God's with you. God's with you. Valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If we go all the way into death and God's not with us, you know God's with us. You know he's going to be with us here. Thank God for that. The presence of God. David, how'd you encourage yourself? I just remembered how good God was. I remembered his promises. I just remembered God's all-powerful. God who created all this. He can take care of that little problem. We'll get our wives and our children back. God's powerful. God helped me defeat Goliath. And I know God's going to help me through this one little stumbling block right here also. Because, why do you think God put certain people through certain little things in life? It's so they can encourage somebody else. Why is my mother-in-law over there full of bionics? I mean, she's the bionic woman over there. The shoulders, the knees, the hips, the ankles, just everything. So that she can encourage somebody else that goes through something like that. Amen. You can encourage other folk. My brother Norman told me this morning, over there at the hospital with Zachariah, and he's over there encouraging the other people who are over there, but then there's one over here, I don't want nothing to do with your God. Well, one day God ain't going to want nothing to do with you either. Depart from me, I never knew you. God put us through what Chelsea went through so that we can encourage somebody else? It's not by mistake. God does it on purpose. It's to humble us so that we can seek God through prayer and realizing the Holy Ghost. 5:30 in the morning, I felt the presence of God at the hospital over there. And I felt it many a time since then. Thank God for the presence of God. And how else did you encourage yourself, David? Well, it's easy to encourage yourself after you see the prosperity of God. After God gives the victory, it's easy to stand up and say, I knew we were going to get them back the whole time. There's always one of those in the bunch. Amen? It's always one of those. Do you know the story of Elisha? And Elisha's sitting back, relaxed pretty much. He probably got the TV on, watching something. Probably eating a popcorn and drinking his iced tea or something. But his servant's going around crazy. The Syrian army's coming after. The Syrian army's coming after. The Syrian army's over there. And Elisha said, God, just open his eyes. There's more with us than there is with them. That old servant probably thinking, what? And God opened his eyes to where the servant saw the flaming chariots of fire all around them. And that old servant is probably like, Elisha, why are you so paranoid? I told you there's more with us. It's always one in the bunch. They want to take the credit for everything. Oh, well, we knew we were going to have prosperity. We knew God was going to give victory. We knew we were going to get the women and the children back. We knew that. Well, why aren't you encouraging David then? God didn't record you in here. God just recorded David had to encourage himself. But then David got the man of God involved in it, and he prayed to God, and God said, pursue him. And he went and pursued him, and he took the other men with him, and they found the Egyptian who knew the roadmap to where they were, and they let him go, and he fed him and said, we're not going to kill you because you're helping us get our children and our wives back. And they found him, and they got him, and they killed him, and they got their wives and their children back. See, God puts the stories in the Bible for us. Because when we need to be encouraged, we can look back and see how God has blessed those in the Bible with victories. How God has blessed us through prosperity and through victories to where God will continually bless. God gave the victory. God gave the victory, and God will continue to give the victory through life. Amen? We look at Israel and say, oh, they were over there in Egypt for 400 and something years. How was God given the victory? Well, God sent him Moses. But why did it take so long? Ask God when you get to heaven. But it ain't going to matter then. You know, God has a reason for everything. Amen. Could be God trying to teach Israel something while they're over there. Just wasn't the right time for the deliverer. God had to retrain Moses. When he killed the Egyptian, he fled, and in 40 years he's over there, God teaching them how to live in the wilderness, because he knew you're going to be out in the wilderness for another 40 years, so Moses, I'm kind of getting you ready for it. And after Moses was out there for 40 years, then he's out there, and then he sees the burning bush. He done learned how to live off of the land for 40 years. I never noticed that bush on fire, and it ain't burning up. You wasn't looking, Moses. No, it just wasn't on fire until that day. Because God knew that Israel was going to disobey God and sit there, oh, we can't take it, we can't do it. I mean, you got Joshua and Caleb. We need Joshua and Calebs in the church. We need people who say, we can do it. Because we got an all-powerful God. We got a God who can do, I mean, he can do anything. He can take little old things and create big things with little stuff. He can tear down big walls with just nobody. The walls of Jericho fall, and all they had to do was walk around it, and scream and blow the trumpets, and there goes the wall. I mean, God sent hornets. You know the story of the Syrian army coming after Israel, and God sent hornets? And they didn't even have to do nothing. I mean, you get out there and think about being in a battle, and God sends a bee after you. You ain't going to think about taking on your enemy. You're going to think about getting rid of them bees. Have you ever been in a hornet's nest? You know, Yellow Jacket, me and William used to do lawn care work. William over there screaming, ah, ah, ah. I thought he was smart enough to get out of the, you know, them Yellow Jackets. I'm like, William, what's going on? Something's stinging me. I'm looking over there, you got all these Yellow Jackets flying around his legs. I'm like, William, you're in a Yellow Jacket. You know, you invaded their land. You need to get out of there. Me and Lewis up there doing, you know, lawn care up on the lake, and this lady had a hornet's nest. One got me right here, one got me right here. I threw my hedge trimmer down. I said, forget that. You know, think about Yellow Jackets and hornets. They don't lose their stinger. They're like an M16. They keep coming. I mean, I don't think they sting you. They bite you. I think they bite you. Because, boy, it feels like fire. So you're a Syrian coming up against Israel, and God sent a bunch of hornets, and they over there biting you. I don't think you're thinking about killing no Israelite. That's the power of God. Amen. That is the power of God. We're going to heaven. That's the prosperity of God. We're on the victory side. We're on the winning side. Amen. So when you get discouraged, just think about the promises of God. Just think about the presence of God, the power of God, to pray to God. And God eventually is going to give you the victory. And you say, well, what if God kills me and takes me to heaven? You got the victory. Because your problem is gone.